Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Wrestling, a podcast about wrestling, why we love wrestling, and my God, do I love it this week. But that's enough about me. Joining me is a man that does do the wrestling. He likes to talk about wrestling. His name is Trent Seven. Trent, how are you?
Very good, thank
yeah?
you.
You relaxed?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm relaxed. I'm well. Coming off the back of Monday Night Raw last night, I was recording some absolutely unbelievable scenes
some
in the arena. It just makes me want to say,
that's wrestling.
That's wrestling. Are you well there? That's more important to me.
I am.
Yeah?
You
got a big smile
sprightly.
On your face? Yeah, you are.
I am. I'm sprightly.
You got a spring in your step.
Yeah, I've threw a couple of pounds away.
Have you?
I've not been wrestling so hard, so a lot of the knocks and stuff like that are feeling a lot better.
What's your favourite mode of getting back up to shape? Is it an ice bath? What's the biggest thing?
I loathe ice baths.
Do you? Do you do them?
Like sleep and golf.
Golf, yeah.
Long walks.
Are you karting when you're golfing, or are you walking and trolleying? Are you?
A walker.
With a trolley? You've got one of the, you've got
I have a
remote
trolley
control.
At the moment because the strap recently dismembered itself from my bag.
Nice.
But my wonderful kind of half sponsor, Caddy Club, they sent me a new strap through, and now I'm fully ready to roll.
Lovely.
I like a carry.
Do you?
You know what I mean? It makes it feel like a little bit more interaction with the course.
I like a buggy because I can't drive, and that's the only time I get to drive.
But it makes you feel powerful.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Where should we start? I want to start with you, if that's okay. Because you've been rested, so you've not been wrestling.
Yeah.
But that also creates... That's not a problem, but like it also creates an interesting dilemma, I think, whereas it happens in every wrestler's lifetime.
Sometimes you have no money.
No money. There's downtime. I mean, we can get into money.
No.
But there's downtime. So you're part of TNA.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that? What do you do? What's the process? You've been in it long enough to know there's something on the other side of that. But can you remember sort of your first initial forays into that? Of like, we haven't got anything for you for the next 4 or 6 weeks, etc.
The immediate thing is frustration.
Yeah.
Because... as a wrestler, you want to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be everywhere. You want to be in everything. And if you haven't got that kind of get up and go to want to be on the screen all the time, then I think you're missing the point.
What do you mean that? Like I should be on your program. You're wrong.
Be,
you're
could be
it.
Want
yeah.
to be.
Got
I
you.
Think that's what it is. And the run I've had since January, I've had some incredible matches, some wonderful moments. With Nick Nemeth tagging as a Hardy Boy, marvelous stuff, almost winning the tag team championships, almost winning the X Division championship against Mustafa Ali. So I've had some wonderful, wonderful moments. You know, I've wrestled for pretty much every title. You're in the mode then. So you're like, brilliant, brilliant. Keep on pushing. Boom.
Boom.
There's a lot of people signed and contracted to TNA and WWE and AEW. And sometimes not everyone can be on every show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the hardest things to take. But I suppose one of the true skills of being mature in this industry is going, it's okay.
Yeah.
The cream will always rise to the top.
Well, I think you have got to have... Wrestling's more so in any probably sport and entertainment industry. You have got to have that self-confidence, haven't you? But.
Yeah.
The difficulty with that is how you display that, isn't it? Because it's all encompassing and it's part of your character, but then are you your character? Quite a tricky waters to navigate?
Yeah, I suppose it's easier to be angry as me than it is as Trent Seven, the character,
yeah.
right? Because Trent Seven, the character, is just, you know, he's just happy, man. He just loves wrestling. He's just, all he wants to do is just be the best and have the best time and do cool stuff and be everywhere and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Ben... gets sad,
yeah,
because he wants to be flying all over the world and being a super famous wrestler,
yeah,
because that's the point of it, right? You know, I signed up for TNA to be a famous wrestler, and I've done some very, very cool famous things, but you know, you don't want it to stop. But you know, that's it. Everything has its ins and outs, its peaks and its troughs, and I'm sure the writing team have they've got their work cut out with the current roster that they've got, so don't worry.
And do you find that something that like you're not old, but you are older than you were yesterday. That is a fact. But do you find that's something that you can cope with more because of maturity? But do you think sometimes that's something that bleeds into the, like maybe the writing team, because they can be like, well, we trust Trent. We know Trent. He's been through this before.
He'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
We'll just
give
him a call. Yeah, probably. And that's quite an admirable thing to look at it. It's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, he'll be okay. We'll just bring him back and he can do really cool moves and matches and stuff like that. So it's nice that I know that I've got the confidence to know that any booker or any promoter will understands me as that. You know, they're always going to get a great match. They're always going to get great promos. You know, I'll always give it 110%. No matter what company I work for, you know, whether it's a local indie or TNA or whatever, I'll always be throwing, you know, everything, the kitchen sink at it, right? I suppose that's a good way to look at it, you know.
And then also
when I get the call,
you're ready to go, yeah.
I'm in and they go.
And also a good way to look at it as well, like this is a small little break, very small, but then you've just listed off, you've probably done everything that you could have done in TNA. Fighting for the title, tag team title, X Division title with the biggest stars. Like, do you almost have to use that of, like, because I do it, but I've been freelance before where you're like, I haven't this, that, and the other. But then you actually look back and you're like, wow.
Yeah, I've done some cool stuff.
And that's been, what, 6 to 7 months? You got a little figure there? Yeah. And it's all around you.
Right. So, sometimes, you know, I think we spoke about this a little bit in the last episode. It's like, push yourself out the box, have a little look from inside and go, oh man,
yeah,
you've had a pretty cool career.
And also, I think it's the most truest in wrestling of all of the industries. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, doesn't it?
Indeed it does.
So when you come away, people, and then you're back and you're like, shit me, I'll miss this guy.
Yeah, I say it a lot to people who get injured. You know, there's a couple of people recently who've been injured. probably just one to note is a girl called Emerson Jane.
Right.
She's
for one me, to watch.
One to watch. Yeah. She's unreal. Just unbelievable, like almost reckless, with reckless abandon she wrestles. And it's incredibly entertaining. She's going to go places. But she broke her foot at a North wrestling show and like she was back real, real quick. And I was like, you better be, just make sure you're ready. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She is. She's just made of adamantium or something. I don't know what she's made of. But I was explaining to her that the time away, as much as it's financially a little bit stressful or you're kind of thinking, oh, what if someone takes my place, all that kind of stuff, you really have to do that. You have to know your own worth. Yeah, and luckily, you know, she's not injured, but she does know her worth and, you know, the comeback is always more worth a lot more than kind of dragging out, you know, being not 100%. That's what I'm trying to say.
I suppose, especially when you're younger as well, because if people are getting to know you, they come to a show and you're at 70% and you can't do your reckless abandonment, you can't be as good as you want. They're like,
and they can see that.
Yeah. So it's like, it's sort of belittling what you do a little bit, isn't it?
So anyway, she came back and she was just on fire again.
Lovely stuff.
Unreal. One to watch.
Speaking about the comeback is stronger, absence makes the heart grow fonder. A man that's done that probably at the top of the scale, Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
SmackDown this week. Tribal Chief back, first night on USA, I think it was. Cage match to start. Have you been? You were that bastard Steve Macklin in a cage match.
Yeah, I think I did a cage match with Wolfgang as well at ICW, at the biggest show ever, biggest independent wrestling show in the United Kingdom, I believe it was.
What's the scariest thing to do in a cage? Like Cody
did a superplex off the top.
Were you superplexed or were you superplexing?
I think I was plexed.
Oh, so you're going off the top. Oh my god,
it was frightening. It feels like forever,
does it?
Yeah,
what's that impact like? Is that take your breath away, the impact?
Yeah, because you arguably the superplex is a move that I do quite a bit.
Yeah,
so I know when your body kind of it braces itself at the right time,
but
with the extra 6 or 7 foot, where is it?
Oh.
Yeah, man, it's rough.
But
it's very exciting.
Yes, and they kicked it off. There was a few awkward landings for Cody. He's the king of, I think, of that, of like, he knows what he's doing, but I do wince and hope he's all right. And he was right. He won the title, kept his title, sorry. Anyway, we get to the main event. I'm rambling because something's brewing and I don't like it. Reigns is back. Cody Rhodes is the champion. Reigns is your white hot. Baby face. Nice. Cody Rhodes was that.
Yeah.
But it's the first time, we all knew it was brewing, it's the first time where the fans have been a bit less receptive to Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. You think?
I think they're seeing through it.
Seeing through what, though?
This All-American...
But isn't this just the antithesis of what we'd literally just spoken about? Roman Reigns has been away. Absence make the heart go stronger.
The heart is so fond. Because when he's there, they want to boo him.
Yeah.
Because he's the baddie. He's the antagonist, right?
Yeah.
When he's gone, they're like, oh, God, I miss watching him.
Yeah.
God, he was entertaining. Whether he's good or bad, he was entertaining.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, there has been no dip at all, I don't think, in the viewership or the level of entertainment
that's been provided
by the WWE brand. It's, yeah, it's wild. But now he's back. And now he's batting for the other side, man.
But then it's also very interesting in terms of Roman Reigns, because obviously everything that was levelled at him pre-coming into this character that he's done since 2020 was like, how'd you handle him as a babyface? The company were pushing him. And he was just very awkward in that persona, wasn't he? Like, it wasn't dealt with great, but he sort of found his own footing as this character. But that's always been heel, isn't
it? Yeah.
But I just think it's very interesting. I don't think the best thing is Triple H is at the helm. So there's just any anxiety I do have is just going to be like, I trust that man with my life. But how do you handle it from... You've been in these situations where...
I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I've been Roman Reigns.
You've been a tribal chief.
Yeah. I am famously, a tribe of wolves.
But you've been there as a fan. You've seen it as different things of like, you have these two absolute baby faces. People sort of feel like they're sensing it. But what do they do? What do they do next?
You've just got to let it pan out.
Yeah. But what do you want?
It's very, very hard these days to force feed the fans
a
specific narrative. Because if you force feed it too much, they'll turn against it. And if you don't force feed it enough, they won't get on board with it. So it's just about finding that balance. And arguably, come on, for the last 50 years, WWE have pretty much got it mostly right. Like the John Cena type thing and the big dog or the dog in the yard thing, where he was kind of pushed a bit, you know, down people's throats and it turned against him. Probably the finest example of this working the other way is probably Kurt Angle, where like he was forced down your throat as the American hero on purpose.
Yes.
For him to be.
Got you.
See what I mean? So there's loads of, I think that the grey area between one of those three is what's going to happen. And for me, I think Cody Rhodes is a heel.
Yeah.
For me, yeah.
Do you think the next, but when does that, like...
It's very similar to, in a similar vein to that, you know, Kurt Angle type thing, like, I am America. Cheer for me. Look at my coat. I look like a patriot. Like, if you AI'd a patriot, an American patriot professional wrestler, Cody Rhodes would come up. Maybe with a beard.
I wonder what the angle is that they play with it of, like, because he's sort of like given all of himself to us, hasn't he? And then like, as soon as the first sign change.
That's it. I've given everything to you, you fans.
Yeah.
And as soon as this fucking slick, sexy man comes back, you're right up his arse. Well, fuck you.
But then we've still got the stuff that's overhanging from The Rock. So
Well, he can come back whenever he wants.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let him do that.
Yeah. He's got his pass with me.
And then because we were just speaking outside as well. Well, what about Cody Rhodes? Like, do you generally believe he would be better as a heel going forward?
I see him as a heel.
Yeah.
And obviously the crowd are starting to react to him as a heel. And how the way they play that is going to be a very exciting 6 months.
Yeah. Because is that because, like, tying back to your force feeding stuff, isn't it? Of how do you make... Kurt Angle was force fed as a heel in the right way, but now people can see through that. So it's like, how do you build... And they do that, don't they? They built organic heels in Chad Gable with American Made. So I think I've just got to calm down a little
bit. You have. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I just really like Cody Rhodes.
This fear that you've got for Cody Rhodes not getting...
I just get really like anxious about, like, he's up there. You know what?
I promise you, personally and professionally, he's going to be fine.
Okay.
As a fan, you've got an excellent 6 months coming ahead of you.
Yeah, that's the main thing,
isn't it? The Royal Rumble is going to be totally different to years gone by. It always felt like it kind of drowned away a little bit.
Yeah.
As regards to kind of like the real hype of the end of the year. You know, you had Survivor Series now, has got the double cage and everything like that, which obviously, you know, we're looking at like a Judgment Day.
Can I go off on a tangent?
Please do.
In terms of the War Games, I want to see... I had a friend who likes wrestling and he watched War Games. He was like, really liked it. But there's no Jeopardy for about 25 minutes.
Understandable.
So, like, I want
what
eliminations.
What if they change it to double cell?
What do you mean?
So everyone starts and it's two rings in a double cell.
Yeah, or just eliminations.
Put a lid on it.
Put a fucking lid on it.
And it's elimination from...
I don't think the lid would be able to handle that amount of meat in the ring.
There's a lot of meat.
But no, I just, maybe some elimination, like you can be eliminated early on.
Yeah. Rather than people coming in timed, everyone starts and you get eliminated.
Well, something like that. Yeah, it's just like you've got to wait 25 minutes or 20 minutes for the match to start.
Correct.
So me and you are in there. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Let's increase the jeopardy.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to give me a phone call from the WWE director...
Exactly.
I just want a bit of that.
But that's fine-tuning what is absolutely...
I'm pretty sure they know how to make it slightly better.
Put the big dog in.
I think it's going to be double cell.
Double cell.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood.
Right.
Obviously.
CM Punk, Drew McIntyre.
Thanks. At Bad Blood, which is the pay-per-view that housed the first ever Hell in a Cell match between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. History. I think it might be double Hell in a Cell.
What do you mean?
Maybe it's like, so it'll be, instead of one Hell in a Cell, they'll take out the wall.
Oh, it won't be double cage.
No, double Hell in a Cell. Oh. How are we going to go one step bigger? How are we going to put these 10 wrestlers or maybe 12 wrestlers?
Yeah.
And they'll just do that, I think.
I think it'll be more cool. Bloodline focused myself.
Who knows who pops up out from under the ring?
I think it'll be, because you got the new Bloodline.
Mm.
But who's heading up the new Bloodline?
Well, we saw a little bit of interaction from Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Into the whole...
Yeah, in terms of the Judgment Day stuff as well. Yeah. That was a great promo.
Is that going to leak into the Judgment Day?
Is there too many
people in the Judgment Day now? It's getting scary.
Yeah, Carlito.
Does it need to be bigger? Do we need to fully Wolfpack NWO, red and white, white and black, all that business?
Terror Twins, your favourite?
My favourite, yes.
But the way I see it going, Bloodline, you got your new Bloodline, which Solo is, but it still feels like he's been puppeteered by maybe The Rock. Then you got Reigns, Rhodes, maybe an Uso reunification.
If ever they wanted to keep Cody as a good boy, they could just have him team with Roman.
Well, they are, aren't they? That's the main event for Bad Blood. Well, one of the main events for Bad Blood. Exactly. It's all very exciting. The best thing to round this whole thing up is I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen.
But I think I've got a good idea.
You think you've got a good idea? You've got more of an educated guest than I have, and it's very exciting.
Thanks.
One thing I don't know what's going to happen with is arguably, and we'll get into this, the greatest tag team ever in WWE history. But who do you think I'm talking about?
The Hardys.
No, unfortunately
Edge
not.
Edge and Christian.
No, unfortunately not.
The Dudley
not.
Boys.
No, unfortunately not. It's
the greatest active team.
The New Day. So it's been teased for a while. Obviously, some stuff happened where Odyssey Jones was going to be inserted. Don't really know what's gone on there. He's not in WWE anymore.
Right.
New Day, angling the split. It's good. Xavier Woods has got the all-black tights on. We're going against Kofi's positivity in the green. Last night, now, you've been a man in a tag team that's broke up.
I've had a couple of tag team matches.
Let's get into the actual breakup. Yeah, all the gold.
Thanks.
What's it like breaking up with your tag team partner?
Heartbreaking.
Professionally and... unprofessionally.
Heartbreaking.
Really?
Yeah.
In behind the scenes and in front of the scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking because it's just so good, you want it to last forever, but you also know kind of in your heart of hearts, it's 9 times out of 10, it's the place for things to go.
Right.
You know, like WrestleMania 25, Jeff versus Matt. Every time you're in a tag team, you're like, fuck, you just dream of those moments. Do you know what I mean? I haven't been given that moment yet. We'll see how it goes. You know, the final match from the BT Sport kind of era with me and Tyler fighting for the title. I thought it was pretty monumental.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still doors that are open there with that feud. But if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know. And we will forever be etched in the annals of WWE history as the first ever team to win both the NXT tag team titles.
So when you were in that era... when they come up to you and broach the subject, how do they do it? Like, is that something you went to them with? Do they come to you with? And then what's the interaction with you two afterwards?
I found it was clearly the way things had to go as regarding the importance of NXT UK as a brand that had cool stories.
Right.
You know, it needed something to shake up.
Yeah.
You know, you lose a couple of people like a Walter, you lose a Pete Dunne. You need super active, you know, interesting and intriguing storylines, because what you may lose in the guaranteed banger section, you're always going to have it. You know, me, Tyler, A-Kid, you know, Noam Dar. There's wonderful wrestlers who are going to have wonderful matches. Ilya Dragunov. It'd be never-ending good matches. But once again, you're losing kind of big staples. So you need, for me, the best wrestling in the world is really good wrestling, really good stories. You know, the Attitude Era, I thought, was really good stories and some good wrestling. And then later on, you got, like, the era of, like, the superstar wrestler, like the mid-2000s, where the roster was just a joke.
Yeah.
And then the stories maybe weren't as hot.
Yes.
So here is where we kind of need to mix it together. And, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, breaking up was, you know, part of the intriguing storyline and the forwarding of NXT UK.
Who in that specific...
Into, obviously, the end of NXT UK, unfortunately.
But in that time, who was the one that actually talked to you about that?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
No?
I can't remember. There were dark days.
Yeah,
emotionally dark days.
Well, it was a testing time.
Testing time for everyone. You know, we're just about coming into the stage where we could even have fans.
Yeah. Me, I was in there.
Right, so that was rough.
Me being in there?
Yeah.
It's a real dark day.
Yeah, but more so the fact that, like, I remember when the first time they let us have maybe 100 fans, and it felt like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre. They were so excited and so hungry and awkwardly spaced out. But it felt like WrestleMania. And I was like, it was very bizarre. And then I think by the end we got to about 250, something like that. And then what happened, and it is what it is.
Would that have been was it Shawn Michaels who was running it?
Yeah.
So it would have been a hit with him decision ultimately.
What, for the breakup?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously incredibly creative. He knows. He's been there.
Yeah.
He was part of the Rockers. You know, one of the original kind of, one of the most incredible tag breakups in the history of wrestling.
Probably still is, isn't it?
Super kick through the window and everything. It's pretty amazing stuff. But like I say, we tried to, you know, all you can do is try to emulate and modernise those kind of things. And I feel like the way it was portrayed in the breakup and the split of Mustache Mountain, I think it was some of the best work I've ever done.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Seek it out.
I completely agree. And I feel like we can, you mentioned what you did and what the Rockers did, but I feel with the longevity, like the New Day for me feel a bit like John Cena. Like, we were never going to see the breakup. We'll never get that heel turn. But just because of everything that's happened with Big E, the way they are at right now, the whole backdrop of Xavier Woods never winning a singles title as well, and that being his sort of like real kryptonite, the right word. Yeah, just like it's real bubbling underneath him. I just feel like we could see something magical with those two players.
Could be tidy.
Yeah.
Especially with Big E coming back. But...
Do you think he's coming back?
Yeah.
Really?
Whether he wrestles or not, he's going to come back with something. He's a superstar.
What would you like to see? You've been part of it. How would you like to see that play out with them too? Like, because it just feels like the elephant in the room is Xavier Woods not winning a singles title. And not me who's saying this, but is he ready for an intercontinental title run? Is he ready for a shot at the big one?
That's got to be the story, hasn't it?
Yeah. Follow that.
I think if they follow that, then something other little things will fragment off and create little sub stories. But I think that's really how they're going, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're kind of like not more of a you held me back type thing, because they were an incredibly successful tag team. But like you said, both of them have won major championships, and poor little Xavier Woods is yet to hold solo gold.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Does Big E help him?
Wow.
Or does Big E
would be
back
a great manager
to try and reunite the team? Or do they just come in and fuck off Kofi Kingston? Who knows?
Options. We've got options.
What's next?
I was going to say, I started that segment with they're the greatest tag team of all time. You're Mount Rushmore of tag team wrestling.
Okay.
Who's your four? You can have two on one head.
Okay. Can they be active? Yeah. Are we going to be active or non-active?
You can have whatever you want. You're in charge.
Okay, okay, right. So let's mix it up. Dudley's, Hardy's, Edge and Christian.
Three.
Done. They have to be.
I'd also agree.
Have to be.
Yeah.
Right. Then you go into kind of like the legend era of, you know.
You've only got one spot left.
The Steiners, Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Earthquake and Typhoon. Like, a big part of my childhood was watching them boys throw it around. Oh, Heart Foundation.
Mm.
There's just so many good teams. The Rockers, they're very good. DX, does that count?
Yeah.
Because arguably DX is...
Brothers of Destruction.
Right, exactly.
Rikishi and Haku.
Mm. Maybe. Rikishi will probably complain about the booking there.
Too cool.
Yeah. Too cool. Legendary. Really legendary.
Right to Censor.
Still No. No. Not Right to Censor.
Who's your four?
I don't know, man.
You've got to pick four.
So I've already
I've already
picked three, right?
Yeah, you've picked three, and I'd agree on those three. There you go. It is a mountain. A
genuinely legendary tag team.
Yeah.
It's just crazy saying it because, you know, whatever. But yeah, a legendary tag team with incredible moments. But, you know, we didn't win the WWE. FTR.
Yeah. The Usos.
Young Bucks. Come on.
There's a lot to beat.
So many wonderful teams.
Do you feel like tag team wrestling's in a good place at the moment?
Yeah, I do. Especially with the Grizzle Young Vets kind of at the top of the card at AEW at the moment. Going into this thing with the Young Bucks, wrestling FTR last week, main event in Collision. Like, I feel like that's... tag team wrestling for me is not... I don't think it's necessarily more or less entertaining than singles wrestling. But forever, I've always thought that tag team wrestling should be put on the same pedestal as the major tag, as the major singles title.
Right.
Because for me, obviously being a tag team wrestler for almost all of my career, the options and the things that you can do and the way that you can manipulate the referee, the rings, the ropes. There's so many things that you can do in a tag match compared to a singles match. And you think of all the incredible singles titles matches that we've seen with Brock Lesnar lifting up the ring, or, do you know what I mean? Or you know, Eddie Kingston blowing the ring up, or like double cages. There's so much things that so many things that we can see and do. And obviously there's, you know, unbelievable competitors like you, Will Ospreay, and you, Kenny Omegas, who just have absolute balls out matches all the time, right? But with tag team wrestling, there's five people in that ring all the time. You know what I mean? There's just so many options. And for me, some of the most captivating matches I've ever seen are tag team matches. So to see tag team wrestling at the top of the card, that fills me with deep joy.
Love that. Someone that is at the top of the card that may be a surprise, not because of his ability, but because of his absence, which is the theme of the podcast, Nigel McGuinness.
Now we're talking.
Obviously, we spoke about his amazing moment, which you were there for, got a bit emotional about.
Yeah, very emotional.
At Wembley. But then to come back at Grand Slam, he's wrestling a person that's on your wrestling Mount Rushmore, Daniel Bryan.
Mm.
How'd you feel?
Emotionally invested.
Yeah.
Invested?
Invested.
Emotionally invested. And what is going to happen? I'm very invested in what's going to happen. Yeah, I think it'll be... really one for the ages. It's not confirmed yet, I do believe. It's right. More of a...
that he's put the challenge out there.
It's more of a Brian Fears Nigel type thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw he put his Ring of Honor highlights out. They were very, very well edited, just to put that little bit of a spark in there for him.
So, I mean, they've got so much history. They built Ring of Honor, you know, or they were part of a team of probably, you know, 5 or 10 people that really did build Ring of Honor. And for me, Ring of Honor was the catalyst for, you know, Fight Club and all of these cool promotions that then ventured off from that. That, you know, slightly harder hitting, a little bit closer to the action, a little bit more concentrating on the in-ring performance rather than the storylines and the grandeur of things.
Yeah.
You know, you would see guys just come out in their gear, bam, bam, bang, let's go. And it's like 20, 30 minutes of just unreal professional wrestling. And the skill set was higher, I believe, that crew built. They built a legacy, and to see that legacy getting repaid off now in front of God knows how many people, 10, 20,000, rather than 1 or 2,000 in the Manhattan ballroom. I mean, that's the stuff you can only dream of. And for him to have so much time off as well, and to get that wonderful moment at Wembley with like Zack Sabre and Kyle O'Reilly. Ooh!
Because also...
it is exciting times to be a wrestling fan, especially if you're around about my age.
Yeah.
And you grew up watching that kind of legendary era of performance of the Ring of Honor, Noah kind of era,
Yeah.
From like the mid-2000s onwards.
Because you wrestled him on his farewell tour, didn't you?
I did indeed.
And is that part of the farewell tours? He did the documentary around that, didn't he?
That was the documentary.
Yeah, if you've not had a chance to see it, because self-confessed man who is WWE hardcore, getting educated by the likes of yourselves on the independent. I watched that documentary and you talk about storytelling. Like, I mean, that's as raw and emotional as it gets, doesn't it? Having your dream cut from you. But then
then watching your best mate.
Yeah.
Become the most famous wrestler of all time.
And then,
no, he's not the most famous wrestler of all time. At the point when he stood on the table,
yes,
after beating the three biggest names in wrestling in the same night,
yeah,
he was the biggest name in professional wrestling.
But then even his comeback with obviously the great work he was doing on commentary and still is, and doing all that,
to get the Wembley.
Yeah. Does that feel you like just knowing that he's actually having this payoff, which is probably... speak about absence again.
Yeah, right. You can't probably be more absent, unfortunately, you know, as far as in-ring performance goes than poor Nigel's time away. But listen, man, he's back and he's making up for it, and his promos are good and his in-ring work is still good and his ring gear looks cool and he's probably in the shape of his life.
Yes.
So fucking get in there, son.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah.
Let's get this match done.
Would you like to wrestle him?
Again? More than you would ever know.
Yeah.
More than you will ever know.
Is that where you got to go, I really like it, but you bastard.
Yeah, or I could wrestle with him.
Yeah.
Options.
Nice. British.
Strong.
Style. Options.
Who knows?
Just tease that out there into the ether.
Into the ether. But yeah, you know, life and wrestling is very exciting right now. Everyone's working with everyone, you know. We're coming into that kind of... We were talking about that kind of time of the year when it's like WrestleMania's finished, SummerSlam's just gone, and it's the build to Royal Rumble, the build to the new year. It's exciting times to be a wrestling fan.
This is a piss poor segue, actually. I'll just out myself. A time of the year that's very exciting for me is when the WWE 2K games come out.
That's an exciting conversation.
No, it is an exciting conversation. Yeah. It's just a poor segue.
Don't worry about it.
I can't tell you.
A lot of people get the game for Christmas. You could have used that.
Yeah. Respect, but... yeah.
So some people, a lot of kids, get the computer games for Christmas.
I've got a story about that, actually. When I was about... probably older than I should have been, 12, 13, and getting the wrestling game, SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain 2, whatever it was. Mom bought it me for Christmas, wrapped it up, Christmas Day. I'm like, that, for me, that's the pinnacle, because back then I'm like, I can do this. The story mode, open it up. They've not put the disc in at game. It's Christmas Day, best present.
You are lying.
Not, I swear to God. She's like, oh my God, they've not put the game in.
So, or did your mum just steal the case off the shelf?
No, yeah. That'd be quite a good one, yeah. Might have to revisit that.
Just to rib you?
Yeah, there you go. Imagine that. So, yeah, absolute devastation.
Have a shit day.
wanker. So, yeah, absolutely devastated. But I love the way 2K have taken the new games. I can't tell you how much I love. Have you played them? Like, have you played?
I don't play them a lot. No.
Okay. Well, the one career mode about 4 years ago culminates in you as yourself created wrestler in a Royal Rumble. You're against someone and everything's thrown at you. You win the Royal Rumble, and this is why I love it. The American national anthem plays, and they're like, "Who's this at 31? There's only 30 people in it." And they go, "It's the President of the United States, The Rock." And The Rock comes out as 31 in the Rumble, and you actually have to have a match
with him. He's the President of the United States of America.
In the game.
That's a real thing.
That's class.
That's absolutely insane.
And I don't know if it's the same one. It's so long as well. You wrestle Samoa Joe on your first night on Raw, get a win. It's like, oh, you've never done this before in your life. And he goes, I'm going to have to retire because that's so embarrassing. You end his career. You forget about it. You're wrestling as a champion like 10 years later. He comes out. Because he's broke his arm. He comes back with a bionic arm.
Shut up.
A metal arm.
Like Kano.
Yeah. Like, and...
Jax from Mortal Kombat.
What's his finish when he gets it? It's Cobra
Clutch.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't call it that, but yeah.
He wraps in his finisher, but now he's got a bionic arm.
Oh, you did?
Oh. I love it.
It's great storytelling.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I wonder if that would happen in real life.
Yeah.
I wonder if in AEW someone chops Samoa Joe's arm off backstage and he comes back with one bionic arm to choke people out with.
And one of them, it's not the same one, your final match is the Hall of Fame ceremony. You wrestle on the stage.
Wow.
It's brilliant. So anyway, enough about that.
Enough about the story.
How much money do you make? You've been in these games.
I have.
And what's that
two
like?
Two of them. It's the best feeling you could ever imagine.
Really?
So, yeah, 2K20 was the first one. Then we didn't have one for 21. There was no game in 21, I don't think. And then COVID-y. It was 22. I think it jumped straight to 22. Yeah, it's one of the best feelings ever. It's so surreal. Like you're in that thing and they're shooting you.
Have you got the lycra with
the...
Let
me tell you the story.
Sorry, go on.
So back in the day, no, maybe we should put some Jack and Ori type music onto this one. A long, long time ago in 2020, I was wrestling for the World Wrestling Federation, WWE. Anyway, so they wanted us in the game. I was like, right, you, Tyler and Pete... No, you, Tyler, and Mark Andrews, you need to get in the game ASAP. And we're like, right, okay, no worries. And they're like, right, unfortunately, the only way we can get you in the game is you have to fly to Las Vegas to the studio, to their mobile studio. And I was like, oh, no. What a ball ache. Okay, then. And they're like, right, so we're going to fly you in. On the Thursday, you film on the Friday, and we'll fly you back on the Saturday. I was like, right, okay, no worries. And is 2K paying for that? And they're like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, we'll fly in on the Tuesday, and we'll fly back on the Monday. Nice. That would be lovely. And she's like, okay, I'll ask him. And yeah, so we did. We had a lovely holiday in the Luxor. me, Tyler, and Mark Andrews. And so we get there, we hire this cool Jeep, and we're driving around, and we drive to this place. And it's like a converted RV. It's like their mobile one. So what they're doing actually is 2K are driving around the whole of America trying to catch the NBA players.
Oh,
the
really?
2K NBA game.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So like, God knows who stood in that
room. Yeah, yeah. So what, is it like a thing that pops up?
Yeah, like, yeah, it's just there. And you go into the end, where am I going? I
need to stay here
by the microphone. So you go into this end room that in the RV and there's just like 250 super mega Canon cameras like this.
Yeah.
And you just stand there. And it's a...
You're in the buff.
No. They don't care what you're wearing because it's a computer game.
It's a mocap your cock.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, they don't do that. So anyway, you're in there and you have to look straight into the camera. Thanks. And you look straight into the camera and they give you like a list of sounds to make.
Right.
Like, ah, ooh. And you have to like pull all these weird funny faces and it takes like a million pictures of you and then you do your poses and all this kind of stuff. Anger, joy, depression, you know. I don't think they didn't specifically ask for depression, but just in case you got beat.
It'd be pretty horrible if they did.
By The Rock.
Trent, with you we just got down depression because you didn't do that on the other one. It just says alright.
Yeah, so anyway, they did that and it was, fuck, it was amazing.
So then from that, let's jump forward, however, nine months.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie, we were in that RV for 7 minutes.
Right, that was it.
It was a tough day.
Yeah. Tough days were it.
So anyway, I went back to the Luxor and we're hanging out in the pool and had a lovely time. But yeah, so they're so efficient, man, that like, because they know if they've got to do like a whole roster or a whole, you know, the whole of the Lakers team or something stupid like that, you got to get in there, boom, boom, boom. So there's this really... It's really a cute bump.
Got it. Going, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And then boom, you're out.
And then can you remember the first time you played the game? Can you remember the first time you played it as yourself?
So it was at the launch.
Really?
The first time I ever played as myself was at the launch of 2K20, I believe. And that was down in London. I mean, there's a load of people, loads of gamers and stuff like that. And I'll try and get a pop-up for you. But yeah, there's a massive... It was like a Hall of Fame thing. Do you remember the way it was presented? It was like these big gilded gold pictures of us.
Right.
Like,
oh, really?
WCK, all over the place.
Yeah.
And on this column, say us about that. There's like two massive big ones and then four tiny little ones. Two massive big ones were me and I think Becky Lynch.
Oh, right.
And then the little ones were, I think maybe Scott Hall, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And a couple of other minnows.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. And then
a little, like, you know, mid carders.
We don't have to get into.
Yeah, so then we play the game there, and it's amazing. And I got to actually do my, like, watch my entrance against Brock Lesnar.
How do they do that
at Blackpool?
You don't mocap that, do you?
No, no, someone else will mocap it.
Right.
All the mocap's done by, like,
LA Knight did it for ages, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have done it. One of the funniest. Oh God, I wish I could remember who said it. I think they're at TNA. I can't even remember, man. My memory's so bad. But yeah, we were talking about the game and they did me.
Oh, they did.
That person mocap. Yeah, that person mocap me. Please, if you can remember who it was, I will try and think. Yeah, if they're watching this.
And then we don't have to get into specifics, but
yeah,
being part of that, it's an additional thing.
That's like watching the slow roll and then the throw.
Yeah.
It was incredibly.
If anyone could
mocap
you throwing that towel back into the ring to end that match, now that would be professional mocapping.
It would.
Only you could do that.
Top mocapping.
In terms of that, how does it work into. As a business sense, is this an additional thing you're doing for WWE?
It comes through 2K.
Right.
Who are obviously the game developer. They have a budget for the game. And whatever deal they make with WWE is like. Whoever's on the screen, whoever's on the case probably gets, I think, about 1 or 2 million straight up.
Got you.
So it's a lot of money, man. Like, God knows how much it probably is in revenue for the company. I can't even imagine how many people in China own the game.
Right, yeah.
Or India.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
that's, yeah, you don't think
about that.
No.
You go like, oh, North America, yeah, they'll buy a lot of sales, 500 million people. 250 million people under the age of 18. Da-da-da-da. You do the maths, right? It's a lot. But then you forget that the rest of the world wants to play as Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
Or Roman Reigns. Or Trent Seven, obviously.
So, but as part
of... there's probably children all over the world who are going, God, I wish Trent Seven's rating was higher. He's my favourite wrestler.
Well, there will be.
Yeah.
But in terms of that...
I wonder if there's anyone out there who's done like a full-on... career mode with me. That'd be amazing.
A universe mode.
Yeah, who's got the furthest with Trent Seven?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Put it out there. But in terms of that, there's a specific check for that game each year?
Yeah, like, depending upon what level you are, you'll just get more money because you are worth more to that company. Like, you think of how many people are going to play as me compared to how many people are going to play as Rey Mysterio.
But you still get a handsome check from that.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice day.
Yeah.
It was a nice day in the Trent Seven household.
Love that.
Yeah.
Right. I hope I ever get to. And also, sorry, just on that as well.
Actually, yeah, you're right. There is something I've missed out on that.
What?
The number one best thing about being in the computer game is when my mate's kids clock it.
Nice.
So one of my mates, his son plays the game all the time. And he knows me, obviously. He's grown up with me. And he couldn't really, he couldn't work out why I was on the game.
Right.
Although he knew I was a wrestler. Like, do you know what I mean? So kind of him putting those two... That, like, you're on the same game as Brock Lesnar? I'm like, yeah, yeah, definitely worked for the same company. Went to all the Christmas parties and everything. We had
Brock
a great time. Yeah. So then going around to the house and playing it as me versus my mate's kid as Brock Lesnar.
It's
the absolute best.
For me, that's wrestling.
That is wrestling, man.
Love that. And then toys as well. Are they all additional things?
Yeah, toys are all additional. Like I said, they come from Mattel mainly. I think they're the sponsors.
And t-shirts.
That's actually, you know what? We've touched on a sore subject here.
You've not had a Mattel?
Never had a Mattel.
Let's get you a Mattel. Must be someone at Mattel listening.
Do you know, there's a wonderful company called Major Pod over there, you know, the Major Bendies.
Yeah.
You know, or Brian Myers.
Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Or Matt Cardona. And they have got a wonderful brand.
Yeah.
Really wonderful brand, actually. We should probably talk about it for a little bit longer, probably promote it and just how good and accurate the Major Bendy series are. But yeah, you know, if they want to throw a little Trent Seven Major Bendy out.
I think that's the world needs to see that before the end of, what would be the lead time on that? The end of next year.
Yeah, God knows how long it takes. But it's an expensive process, it really is. You know, this one over there was a wonderful fan in Ireland made that one for me and that filled me with a lot of joy. Yeah. Take longer.
I need a Major Bendy to get over to this.
Go. Yeah, so this was one that was made by a fan which is very, very high quality. I mean, we've even got the packaging and everything in there. A little towel as well. I don't know if you can zoom in. I'm pretty sure it's Damien Sandow.
Is it? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I've gone through it a bit.
Let's have a look.
I'm pretty sure it's Damien Sandow.
Yeah,
but feels like bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and a bit more beard, volume in the...
bit more moustache and beard added.
Well, that's a nice style, isn't it?
It was very, very cool, and it filled that tiny little gap in my heart that was waiting for a Mattel figure.
We'll fill that gap, don't you
Pete's
worry
got
about
a couple
that.
Now. Tyler's obviously still got that only one, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Because he looks about 87 years old in the toy.
Actually, to wrap this all up, I'm currently doing the 2K24 career mode again. I had to fight Tyler on Friday night.
How was it?
Yes, put that sucker down.
Did you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely got done.
Well, there you go. Have you heard it here first?
I bet you, bitch.
Yeah, Will Brazier beat Tyler.
Well, no, my guy's called Will Burns because Brazier's not in the thing.
Willie Burns. Cool.
Yeah.
And this one is a little one that got better for me as well.
That makes my Willie burn.
Absolutely wonderful.
We got big plans. I know we keep saying that, but if you have got this far and you've not followed us on Spotify or Apple, please do that. That really helps us. Then click the 5 stars. That's really easy. Then drop a comment because we read all of them and we'd like to interact more with you. We'd also be doing some interviews coming up. WWE are coming over in October, so we might speak to people from there.
Who knows who's going to be on the podcast?
But there's lots of exciting opportunities coming up and I'm just excited.
I am. I'm very excited about wrestling. I feel like this podcast has rebuilt my faith in communicating about said form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And yeah, it has. It's put a little bit of a fire inside
me. Nice.
And that's what that thing, you know, that's what wrestling is all about. That's wrestling, isn't it?
Exactly.
So yeah. So I've got some stuff coming up. I'm going back over to Destiny to defend the title.
Against who?
Televised. Against Hammerstone.
Oh, wow. NXT debut this week. God, he looks like... I mean, you're in good shape.
He is as big as a house.
Yeah.
He's as big as a house.
Fuck me. No, you should see this guy.
Oh, mate. Whoa, pop up.
He looks like two gladiators together.
There's the Hammerstone pop up. Look at him.
Yeah.
Crazy guy. Crazy guy.
I know you'll win, but I just worry what condition you'll come out in.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. It's going to be a tough one.
In the words of Arthur.
Look, there you go. The gold is on the line. It's the first live, well, kind of like the first live taping for the kind of like the TV.
So we'll be
program
able to,
fight.
Me and Niall can watch at home.
You can.
Nice.
Unbelievable stuff.
In the words of Arthur, the TV show, believe in yourself because that's the place to start.
It is.
And I say, hey.
Start here.
Exactly. Good luck. You might need it.
I think I will.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's going to be a lovely week. Let's see how things go.
Good luck.